Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, May 8th, 2014. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, homebrewer David Curtis joins us to share his hopping experiment. How do mash hopping, first wort hopping, and 60-minute boil hopping compare on the same pale ale recipe? Stay tuned to find out. If you're new to homebrewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can find me on Twitter. I am Basic Brewing, all one word. Also, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing.james, and our show page on Facebook is at facebook.com/basicbrewing. We're on the Google Plus, too, and thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. Whenever you think of Amazon, think of us first. Go to our website first. Click on our Amazon ad. That will take you to Amazon where you can shop to your heart's content. You won't pay any extra, but you'll be helping us to bring you the show. We greatly appreciate your support. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on iTunes and our Android app on Amazon.com. We're in the BlackBerry podcast directory. We're in the Stitcher app. We're in the Windows phone and what have you. Check out our Brewer's Logbook at BasicBrewingShop.com. In the front is a blank calendar that you can use to track your fermentations and plan your brews. And there is room in the back to log the details of up to 50 batches of beer or mead or whatever you want. If you want to put a tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, you can go to BasicBrewing.com/support. Thanks to everybody who's done so already. Protect your precious beer with one of our growler bags. Check those out at BasicBrewingShop.com. The Basic Brewing bottle openers are back in stock and heading out the door again. For a limited time, you can get a free bottle opener with the purchase of any of our DVD combos. Quite the deal. Steve Wilkes and I are going to get together this week to shoot a video episode featuring my split batch stout experiment. I brewed a stout, kind of on a stout kick here lately. And I split it into two halves. One half was pitched with the Belle Saison yeast, and the other with the T58 yeast. And Steve and I will compare those to a control that was fermented with US05. So I think that will be a fun one. As we near the end of May, we're just getting started in May, but I can see it in the distance there. As we near the end of May, once again, I want to remind you that we'll be taking June off from posting episodes. We will still be hard at work brewing and going up to Grand Rapids for the National Homebrewers Conference, and I've got a long list of episodes that we'll be recording up there. So we won't be taking, well, we'll be taking it easy a little bit, family vacations and such, but no worries. We will be back after June, refreshed and full of good content. We'll be full of something. I'm preparing my presentation on small batch brewing, which is scheduled for Saturday afternoon at the conference. I've got some stiff competition in that time slot. I'm going against Randy Mosher. No biggie. So it may be just me, Steve, and Andy there in the hall, but I hope not, because I've got some fun stuff to share and some good info. And at the end of the presentation, I plan on asking the participants to share their experiences with the small batch brewing, because I'm all about gathering information as well as giving it as well. Also presenting on Saturday is our guest today, David Curtis. David is up the first thing in the morning on Saturday. He is that's not an enviable position, but he's got some really good information, as you'll hear today. He's going to be giving a presentation on what we're going to talk about in this show, but there will be far more to hear and taste at the presentation than what you'll hear here today. For those interested in comparing and contrasting mash hopping, first wort hopping, and standard boil hopping, I think this is very useful stuff. Now, we'll still have a lot of good information to share today. It's just that there'll be bonus stuff if you make the effort to get up at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. David Curtis, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thank you for having me, James.
Your app up in or near Kalamazoo, Michigan?
Yeah, I actually just last year moved a little bit out of town, but I'm lived in Kalamazoo for quite a while, and I work downtown still. So,
and you are the manager of the homebrew shop at Bell's?
Yeah, Bell's General Store. If you visit Bell's in downtown Kalamazoo, we have a pub, which is called the Accenture Cafe. And connected to the pub is our store. And our store is primarily, at least to me, primarily a homebrew shop. We also sell Bell's beer as well as apparel, Bell's apparel and other fun stuff there. So,
and I was saying that I was telling you before we started recording that I was I asked you how long Bell's had a homebrew shop, and you had an answer that surprised me.
Yeah, Bell's Brewery actually started in 1985, but before that, Larry Bell started selling homebrew supplies in 1983. So the store actually predates the brewery by a couple of years, and then he sold his first beer in 85. So we've been Bell, you know, in one form or fashion, we've been a homebrew shop for that long, which is pretty cool.
Cool. You have a really cool experiment, and one that I've been curious about, or it covers an area that I've been curious about for quite some time. Why don't you talk about the parameters?
Well, I think when I first started brewing, you know, I got into, you know, I did the extract thing for about a year, and I really started to get into certain beer styles, and hops were something that really came onto me pretty quick. And I, you know, I started to learn about all the different methods of hopping, like dry hopping and everything. First wort hopping was really becoming, you know, you found it in all sorts of recipes, and people were talking about it in the homebrewing world a lot. It was something that had kind of been forgotten about since the early part of the 20th century, and then kind of been rejuvenated in the 90s. And everybody, you know, it was always accepted that, you know, it's an addition to your beer that smooths out the bitterness and gives you some flavors that you don't get out of a normal 60-minute strike and things like that. And so when I started working in a homebrew shop and, you know, customers would come in, I'd start just answering, you know, as if I was reading it out of a book, that that's how it worked. And, you know, I'd read a few experiments here and there, but there was always some catch where, well, this was brewed here and this was brewed there, and they weren't, you know, the beers weren't exactly the same, but this one always seemed more smooth and round. And I thought, you know, why not isolate something like that? Try to, you know, isolate the hop addition so that you're actually comparing apples to apples and trying to find out if it is just a, you know, in your head. And you can brew any beer and tell yourself that it's more smooth. And, you know, if it's your beer, you can talk yourself into just about anything. So my idea was to get it to as many people as possible. And actually, working at Bell's, I have access to a lab, which a lot of homebrewers don't. So I kind of thought that was something to take advantage of and get some real analytical data out of it as well.
So we should say that you are giving a presentation on this experiment at the homebrewing conference in Grand Rapids, and it's going to be on Saturday morning at 9:00.
Yes, and I'm sure everyone's going to be up bright and early for that. If you're thinking about drinking a lot on Friday night, I'd ask you to reconsider it in favor of my presentation the next morning.
And in order to help boost attendance for your session, we are not going to give you all the information that you have. So you are going to be able to give the participants that are going to be live in person more information that they'll be hearing here today. We'll give our listeners plenty of stuff, but yeah. if you're there in person, you can hear more. And at this point, you and I are planning to get together when we are up north next month, so that we can, you know, possibly do a second tasting and then talk about the numbers then. So, you know, our listening audience won't be left out. They'll just have to wait a little longer.
Yeah, I think anything that gets more people to that presentation is probably a good thing.
I've pulled that slot before, and it's not fun.
Yeah, this will be my fifth conference, and I don't think I've ever made it to a 9 a.m. Saturday presentation, so I'm going to have to.
Okay, we'll talk about the design of the experiment. What are we talking about here?
Well, you know, I should mention before I go too far that the first wort hop wasn't the only thing that I looked at. I also wanted to look at mash hopping, which is something that is even less well known about, I think, than first we're hopping, and it's probably even less used, certainly, you know, in my brewing. The idea was, to make a basic recipe. It started off as kind of a pale ale. I think it's more of a blonde ale now that it's done. But the idea was to brew three beers, and I actually got a lot of help from you on this, so I appreciate that. You were probably the first person I reached out to. And I did a beer that was the same grain bill across the board, same gravity, everything. One had a 60-minute strike. I used Cascade hops. Another was only a first wort hop strike with the same amount, but nothing else in the boil. And then the third is a mashed hop beer with the same amount of hops, only in the mash, so there's no hops in that boil at all. And the idea was to isolate the three hopping types. I guess you could evaluate them for flavor, aroma, bitterness, all that good stuff, and then also to get some analytical data to find out. That's what I really was really after to start with, is how much bitterness do I get out of a first wort hop compared to a 60-minute, and how much do I get from the mash? So
it's the same ingredients for each 3-gallon batch, and same amount of hops, just put in different times in the brewing process. The mash on one. First wort on the second, and a traditional 60-minute boil on the third. I would assume that mash wort hopping just means that you put the hops in there with the grain at the start of the mash, right?
Yep. It's such a minuscule amount, too. It was almost kind of, when I brewed that one, I felt like, boy, I really wish I had stepped up the hops a little bit. But it's, 1 ounce of Cascade hops. I ground my grain, and had them in a bucket, and I threw my hops in there, and then just doughed it all in together. So they were in for the entire mash. And then the real question is how much of that makes its way into the kettle, and what happens, does it isomerize or does it not, or how does that work?
And describe how you did the first wort hopping, and how long those hops were in contact with the wort before the boil started.
I have that right here. The first wort hop, let me look at my times here. I have an electric system in my basement, so I'm able to keep things fairly consistent. This was the coldest winter ever, so I know if I'd have been brewing outside in the middle of February like I was doing, I wouldn't have got to a boil nearly as fast as I did in my basement. So I would typically, from start of my runoff to when my boil begins, I'm at somewhere around a half an hour, which, so as soon as the bottom of my kettle was filled with wort, I dropped the hops in. So you're looking at, I think, maybe 35 to 40 minutes between that time and when the boil actually started. And then for the control, I call it the control batch, the one with the 60-minute addition, once my boil starts, I waited 15 minutes just for because that's my standard operating procedure at my house. As soon as I see a bubble, basically, and I get any signs of boiling, I set my timer for 15 minutes to wait for all the troop or the protein break and all that stuff, and then I start my 60 minutes after that. So technically, it's a 75-minute boil.
Yeah, I think I do basically the same thing.
Yeah. I was a little more precise with this one just because I wanted consistency.
Sure.
I took everything I could. I took pHs and the wort, all along the process to kind of see if things changed there. I documented as much as I could because I really wanted to be, I have an engineering background, so I really wanted to be precise and kind of stick to my roots.
Cool. Well, you sent us two sets of bottles. One labeled A, one labeled B, and one labeled C.
Yeah.
And Steve Wilkes and I sat down and sampled those. And then on the next day, I believe it was the next day, I took the second set to the Apple Blossom Brewing Company, and Nathan and Sammy there helped us out. And I recorded the reactions on those two tastings. So why don't we have a listen? Steve Wilkes, welcome to Studio A. Here above the garage.
Yeah, thanks, James. It's always a pleasure to be in Studio A.
We've been sampling these three samples, A, B, and C, and you know the parameters of the experiment.
Yes.
You know what we're trying to suss out.
I don't know what sus means.
I don't think I just made that up.
No, you didn't. I know what it means. But we're just not telling you.
So my samples are all gone.
Yeah,
we've each had half a bottle of beer in our little cups here, and my samples are gone, and you've got like half of your samples left.
Well, I'm going to take some home in a doggy bag. If you got... I can't eat it all here.
So, okay, A, B, and C, what are your impressions?
I do a really good W.C. Fields.
Of the beers.
Oh, of the, I'm sorry. first of all, they're all nice beers. They're all good and clean. There's no defects in them at all. In fact, I wish I could brew this cleanly. The beer number A has very little bitterness at the back end, so it doesn't. There is hop character, but the hop character is all at the front. When you poured the beers, it's the only one of the three that had a hop aroma to my nasal palate. Ew, that's kind of disgusting. At any rate, it's the only one that had an odor, and the odor was really nice. I know that it's Cascade hops, but it didn't have a Cascade smell to me. I would have thought it was even maybe Mosaic or something. But be that as it may, it's a very soft beer, a soft hop character, and it struck me as a little out of balance because I kind of wanted some more bitterness when I finished the drink. Beer letter B is the hoppiest of the three, meaning it's the most bitter, and it also seems to have the least amount of hop character on the front end. It's the beer that seems to be the most normal to me of the three, meaning that when I sip it, it just tastes like a regular American pale ale. It's what I would expect it to taste like. And it's a really good beer. I like it. And then letter C is very, very similar to B. They both have a quite a good amount of hop bitterness, but...
That's me. Sorry.
But it's a little softer than B. It had less hop bitterness, and it has a little bit more hop flavor at the front end. It's real interesting. I know that you said that the beers were really close together. At first, I thought they weren't. So before they warmed up, I could tell more difference between them. As they warmed up, they became more and more similar, particularly B and C. A is still the Rodney Dangerfield of the three.
He's just
getting no respect.
Oh. The other day, my girlfriend said, "Come on over, nobody's home." I went over, nobody was home.
Yeah.
No extra charge.
No extra charge. I'll be here all week, folks.
Try the veal.
Yeah.
So if you were to guess which was the 60-minute edition, the mash hop edition, and the first wort hop edition, which would they be?
Okay. I would argue that A is the mash hop edition, that B is the 60-minute edition, and C is the first wort edition.
Mm.
That's the order that I have them in. And watch me be completely wrong. I'll tell you why I think that. I think it because the A has the least amount of hop bitterness, and if you only add the hops into the mash and then you withdraw the hops from the boil, which I've never done, so I don't have a reference point, but just my somewhat educated guess tells me that is going to have the least amount of isomerization, so it's going to be the least bitter. Then B is the most standard tasting of the three beers. It tastes like I expect a pale ale to taste, so I'm just going with that's the good old 60-minute boil that everybody does. It's what I'm used to tasting. And because I only have one more choice and one more beer, I'm giving that to the first wort on the right side.
Well, these beers are all three, in my impression. I mean, we sat here for, what, 30 minutes, letting these warm up and tasting as they... And you've got more samples to sample. But these were very similar Now, David had written me an email saying that C was a little bit more carbonated than the other two. So I think as they warmed up, that difference became less because the carbonation was less of a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard in the beginning, but as they warmed up, I think it became more easy, or easier, as we in English say.
We might could.
More easiest.
Yeah.
I'm going to go along with you and say that A is the mash hop. I'm going to say that B... No, wait, you said B is the 60 minute?
I said B was 60 minute.
Okay. I'm going to say that... I guess I'll agree with you then.
Okay.
I was gonna come out with a startling revelation, but then I'm gonna say B is the 60 minute edition because I think it is a little bit the bitterness impression is a little bit more to me,
mm-hmm.
and they say that first word hopping has a little bit of a more rounded character to the bitterness.
I haven't heard them say that, but I'll sure agree with it based on my choices.
Okay, so shall we now? Here we have the answer key, which is sealed in an envelope that has been hermetically sealed in a mayonnaise jar on Funkenwagnel's porch.
Well,
and let me hold it to my forehead.
That's right.
Hickory dickory dock.
Hickory dickory dock.
Hickory dickory dock. Who do you go to when you have a problem with your hickory dickory? Okay, I'll take off my hat now.
Okay.
Now, do you want to open that up? Now, don't talk about the actual... I don't know what it looks like in there, but...
All I can say is, you are right, sir.
You're right, sir. Okay. Don't talk about the IBU measurements.
Okay.
Just talk about which method, because we want to... save that for the conference.
All right.
You have to blow the people.
Daring do. How do you tell? How do you tell if there's been any darings in your yard?
There's a certain age group, which is most of our audience. That probably has no idea what we're talking about.
Well, we appeal to the Medicaid crowd.
The mighty, mighty Basic Brewing Art players.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, it's not.
Oh.
It's not so much it's like a letter. Uh-oh. What does that expression mean?
What am I allowed to reveal?
Say that. Don't talk about the IBU numbers. Just talk about which beer is which method. Don't talk about the measured IBU numbers.
Okay, I got it. We were both right on A.
Oh.
We flipped B and C.
Oh.
So C is the 60-minute... B is the first wort. So there you go.
So A is the mash hops.
Was the mash hops beer.
Interesting. So the B is the first. So the first wort actually to us had a little bit more bitterness. Now don't talk about the lab.
I'm not
what
going
the
to.
Lab said.
I won't.
But B was the first wort.
Mm-hmm.
Was in contrary to what. The lore says
mm-hmm.
The first wort was a little more bitter to us.
Yes, and if the lore says that first wort rounds the hop character off, he's wrong.
Dr. Lore.
Dr. Lore.
Now, we must say that it was very, very, yes. very close.
Yeah, it really... I mean, there's so little difference between the two that it's hardly worth discussing. And if you were to just pop one open and drink one, then pop another one open, and, you know, 5 minutes later, or if you're me, 2 minutes later. you would never know the difference.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Here we are in the brewery at the Apple Blossom Brewing Company. And you guys introduce yourselves.
I'm Sammy Stevenson, one of the owners.
I'm Nathan Traw, the brewmaster.
And a I'm putting you guys on the spot. We have the three samples here in front of you, and your challenge is to differentiate between the three. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. So just going through my notes, I found A, which I believe to be a traditional 60-minute hop edition, to kind of have a lighter aroma, what I describe as a more traditional bitterness. Very well-balanced beer. B, debating on if it's the mash or the first wort, they're both very similar techniques as far as aroma basis goes. But bees tend to have a little bit less bitterness that I was able to pick up. So that I thought it had to be the mash hop. And then because the hops are boiled for longer in first wort hopping, C had a big aroma and kind of a back of throat bitterness that I'm accustomed to for first wort hopping. But it still had the aroma. And so that's kind of what I'm sticking with right now.
Yeah, A came across as the very lightest to me. B smelled the most like hops, and C was the most bitter.
It's really funny how everyone's palates, yeah.
Now, how close were they? I mean, and you guys, these samples are pretty fairly cold. Mm-hmm. So how close were they, in your opinion?
B and C were the most similar to me. A stuck out as being way more, the sweetness came through a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely B and C are very close. Yeah, I'm going to try A again. A might be the mash. You know, people are back and forth if mash hopping actually contributes anything, but the science is backed. So I really want to believe that these two are the first wort in the mash.
That's B and C.
Yes, B and C.
Okay. Are you ready for the answers?
Yes.
Drum roll, please.
A is the mash hopping. B is the first wort hopping. Okay. C is the traditional 60-minute hopping. So, I mean, Sammy, you were saying that you really weren't familiar with what the approaches were supposed to do to the beer, so I don't know if that surprises you or not, but...
I mean, how could I be if I didn't know what it was supposed to do?
Nathan, are you surprised?
Yeah, I am, actually. So maybe I got these two switched up, but traditional was B, correct?
The traditional 60-minute edition was C.
Mash wort.
Maybe it's the extra carbonation, but I get more of the grapefruit citrus out of C than I do from B, which is really surprising. That's more, you know, definitely got more of the first wort bitterness. And then, yeah.
And you guys do a lot, you say you do a lot of first wort hopping mm-hmm. here.
Probably like 80% of our beers are first wort, and some, maybe not the full, I mean, a general rule of thumb is like 30% of your aroma additions you use in first wort. And I think we go as low as like 2% or as high as like 35-40. Some of our IPAs go that high.
Well, this has been fun.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. Thank
yeah.
You.
Any last thoughts? Any any summary that you would like to make?
This was a lot of fun, for one. And two, it's always really good to do this sort of thing, particularly when you're trying a new hop for the first time. Just do a smash on different yeast and really kind of figure out what yeast and hop profile goes good with you. But this was awesome. It definitely, it's the first tasting test I've done in over a year. So that was really awesome. really good time, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Okay, so Steve and I were basically on the same page. We sat for 30 minutes and let the beers warm up, and we studied. Nathan and Sammy were a little bit more on the spot. They didn't spend as much time with the beers. But it's interesting. It's interesting the reactions that we had. Steve and I were on the same page, but, Sammy and Nathan, you know, compared to us, were kind of – we were all on kind of different wavelengths.
Yeah, I was, you know, some of the comments, I the first thing I noticed, I think Steve said something like the, you know, sample A had the most hop aroma. And that just is really something that jumped out at me. When I smell it, to me, it's really malt forward. I almost think of like a Bock style beer, which is that rich malt character is just so prominent. And it's just funny to, you know, I took this to my homebrew club and I've had a lot of people taste it as well. And it's just amazing the different perceptions you get of different things like that. And to me, it's so hard to taste them because I know which is which. And, even to have my wife serving to me blindly or something like that, the mash hop really stands out as on its own to me.
Well, we also had, it wasn't documented, but my wife Susan came in and tasted the samples after we stopped recording, and her perception of the bitterness levels were the same as Steve and me. So there's another vote along those lines.
Yeah.
So what, now we don't want to talk about, we're withholding the actual IBU numbers from the lab for, you know, the presentation on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. But you've got lots of other data to share, though.
Yeah. So like I said, I took it, I want to kind of, you know, my homebrew club, which is CLOB, Kalamazoo Libation Organization of Brewers. I took some bottles with me to our most recent meeting, and I gave them a sheet that said, okay, which of these beers is the most bitter, which is the least bitter, which has the most hop aroma, the least hop aroma, and hop flavor, and then any comments they wanted to add. And basically I had 33 people at that meeting taste, and then the next day I took another 9 to work with some coworkers. And, you know, I just kind of ran, I'm not a real statistic heavy guy, but I just looked at some of the numbers that that we got, and it was pretty dominant. Almost 70% of the people picked the mash hop as the least bitter. So that was pretty, you know, that was the big standout. If you look at, you know, aroma and flavor, it's really a mixed bag. Most people, I would say most people picked, let me look here. Most people picked B and C, but it was pretty much a 50-50 blend there. And, you know, none of these people, you know, there were some BJCP judges. There were some people that really don't homebrew at all, but they were just at the meeting. There were people that taste a lot of beer, but not necessarily, you know, refined palate. So it's kind of a good mix of people. And then I also sent some samples to our taste panel at Bell's, and they were nice enough to let me do that. And basically the way that they ran that test was they gave, ended up being 14 tasters, and they were given a beer A, B, and C, and they were asked to say, okay, which is the most bitter, second most bitter, or I'm sorry, hop character, which has the most hop character, the second most, and the third most. And then he took the most, the ones that were rated the most, and they gave them 3 points. The second most were 2 points, and the least were 1 point. And then you add those up, and B and C were just neck and neck. That's the first wort and the 60-minute edition. And the mash hop was pretty obvious that it was not perceived as the most hop character, I guess, however you want to take that, whether it's bitterness or flavor or aroma. There was only one person out of those 14 that thought that the mash hop had the most hop character, and only a few more people that thought it was the second most. Everybody thought it was the third. So really, it's the mash hop kind of stands out on its own. It's really, you know, I won't get into the numbers, but it is considerably less on the IBU scale than the other two are.
So is there any, did you see any trends that back up the assertion that that first wort hopping gives a more rounded perception of bitterness?
I don't. You know, I was careful. I wasn't sure how to word everything because I knew there were going to be people of all different brewing and beer experience levels in this that were tasting it. So I didn't want to lead them, you know, I asked for comments. And I said, you know, are any of these harsher or rounder or anything like that? And I got very few comments other than people that, you know, I got a lot of, you know, these are all really close and it's really hard to tell. But usually they could pick the mash out, hop out. But the other two, I kind of go back and forth on it. When I first tried them, I thought I thought the 60-minute edition was the most bitter, and then I kind of realized that it was most carbonated over the other two, and I let them sit a little longer, and then I could talk myself into the other direction, and it's not anything convincing. I think we talked about this a little bit earlier. I think I'm going to brew these beers again because I want to pour them at the conference, and I think I'm really going to up the hops. These were 3-gallon batches. I used Cascade. I didn't really talk about the recipe yet. The recipe was, just to kind of give you an overview, was 89% Breeze 2-Row and 11% Weyermann Munich malt. Just so there's no crystal or caramel malts or anything like that. Cascade hops and then Saffel US05, one packet of each in each batch. And looking at the numbers from my lab, besides the IBU numbers, I get a whole bunch of data on that. Luckily, and if nothing else, it made me feel really good about my brewing because all the original gravities are within 0.1 Plato of each other, which I'm not sure what that is in specific gravity, but that's pretty tight, I think. Mm-hmm. And then the finishing gravities, one was the first wort hop finished a slight bit drier than the rest, but it was 10-10. Another one was 10-10, and then the mash hop was 10-11. The colors are all spot on. The gravities, alcohol, and stuff like that are all right on.
And we should say that your target starting gravity, your original gravity, was 10.57.
Yes, 10.57. I think I measured them all just a fraction higher than that. I think they were all around 10.58 or 10.59, according to my hydrometer. And actually, they were all 10. One was 10.58, and the other two were 10.59. The colors are all, they look the same to me. I'm really happy with the way that things. I was really. I don't know if you've ever done a triple brew day, but I had never even done a double brew day before. And this was the worst winter of my lifetime. And of course, this was that was the week that the water main froze up, and I was using my neighbor's water and. my 4-year-old son, who's potty trained, decided to pee his pants that day. It was just a crazy day. I had a lot going on, and it was a challenge to do, but it was a lot of fun. And when it was all done, I was really careful about making sure all the grain came from the same bag, the hops from the same bag, and everything's temperatures were right on. So I felt pretty good about the way things went.
Yeah, Steve. Everybody was impressed by the quality of the beer itself. I mean, you could tell it was well brewed. So well done. You've earned your chops as the homebrew store manager there.
Yeah, and that's another thing I'd like to mention is that I do work for Bell's, which is this big brewery, but all this was done on a homebrew scale. I just happen to have access to some tools that I know a lot of homebrewers don't, and I wanted to kind of take advantage of that in the spirit of homebrewing. And I don't have any special. Any special access to anything that most homebrewers don't, other than the lab side of it. So it was all, this is all for progress in homebrewing. I guess it's all for on our scale, and it was all small batches. And like I said, I'm going to brew them again. I think I'm going to step up the hops quite a bit. I did find out the other day that I can only pour two beers at my speech or at my presentation. So I'm not sure how I'm going to work that, but I am going to brew all three, and I'll have the third one for anybody that asks me. I guess if they. I'll sneak a keg in or something.
Well, obviously, if you could only serve two, B and C, or the 60-minute and the first wort would be the two.
Yeah, and like I said, that's kind of what it comes down to is the comparison between those two. Because to me, and I think to most people that tasted this, the mash hop really stands out as a different beer from the other two.
Yeah, I mean there is some bitterness, or at least perceived bitterness. But it's just not the same.
No.
It was. I think this is an awesome experiment, and I hope we are planning to get together when we go up for the conference. So I look forward to tasting these or the second round with more hops. Yeah. And if listeners have questions between now and then, I'll forward them to you so that you can either answer them or factor them into, either your presentation or your, continuing experiment. Yeah. But I think this is the kind of thing that I like about home brewing is you're taking an assertion that's out there and you're trying it out yourself. And, you know, it's you don't have to take the word of you know, the authors and the experts and all that. You just try it out yourself.
Yeah, this is something that I think I emailed you way back right after last year's conference, because it was something that I was listening to a bunch of your shows. I was kind of getting caught up, and you were doing some IBU testing type experiments, and it really got me thinking back then. And I knew that this year, being in Grand Rapids, it's right in my backyard practically, and I wanted to, you know, bring as much as I could to the conference. And so I reached out to you pretty early on, and Denny Kahn got involved, and Dan Listerman kind of helped me out a little bit as far as putting the project together. And I'm fortunate that I did the first one early enough that I have time to learn from that and do it again and make whatever corrections I need. Of course, I have to find a brew day, which is going to be the next challenge. But but that's pretty much the last step. I'm hoping I can maybe in the next week or two get another batch brewed, or get these batches brewed again and get them ready for the conference. But I hope anybody that's there has an interest in, you know, comes and checks it out, because I think it'll be interesting. Hopefully it'll be another mark in the book as far as what first wort hopping and maybe even mash hopping do to a beer, I think.
Yeah, well, I think knowing the numbers and being able to taste the beers themselves, I think that should be a draw to get people out of bed at 9 o'clock in the morning. So
I hope so. If not, I'll come knocking on doors.
I'll give you my room number. All right, David, this is fun, and I look forward to seeing you in Michigan.
Same here. I'll see you in about a month.
Thanks again to David. Go to the conference. Get up and see him at 9 o'clock on Saturday. You can take a nap during lunchtime. Then you can get up and see me later that afternoon. I'm really looking forward to learning what David finds out on that second round of his experiment. And don't worry, we'll record a show on it. To share with you here on this podcast for those who can't get to the conference. In the meantime, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. Please don't forget to tell us where you're from. You will find our new bottle openers on our shop, along with our Basic Brewing growler bags. You know, as it gets warmer here in the Northern Hemisphere, you're going to want something to protect your precious homebrew and craft beer as you take it from place to place. Check out our support link, where you can throw us a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to the podcasts. Be sure to check out our DVDs, as always: Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low Tech Lagering, Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site, along with combo deals to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time. And for a limited time, you get a free bottle opener included with any DVD combo. You can find our shirts in the store, too. Our brewer's logbooks are there as well. Keep track of up to 50 batches of beer. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We greatly appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Makala Dolphin Bridge Red Burst Soprano Ukulele and Kemp Pro Low Profile Triple Hot Shoe Light and Sound Bracket. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We greatly appreciate your support. And don't forget, you can also join the American Homebrewers Association or subscribe to Brew Your Own Magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com as well. Well, that's it. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.